This is a pre-recorded hour of Morning Air.
Talk radio for Catholic life to start your day.
Morning Air.
On Relevant Radio. With Glenn Leverenz, here's your host, John Harper.
Good morning. It's 5 minutes after the hour, and you and I begin our Lenten journeys today on Ash Wednesday, February 26th, 2020. And we've got spiritual direction for you as we head into our Lenten journey this morning with Father John Gordon from the Archdiocese of Newark, who's going to present something radical, maybe, that it's okay to fail at Lent. Also, Father Marcel Tyone from the Diocese of Providence will join us a little bit later on. But as we start this brand new day and begin our Lenten journey, we begin in prayer. We invite you to join us for the morning offering. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day for all the intentions of your Sacred Heart, in union with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world, for the salvation of souls, the reparation for sins, the reunion of all Christians, and in particular for the intentions of the Holy Father this month. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So as we begin Lent, is it okay to fail at Lent? That's what Father John Gordon wants to talk about, the acting vicar for pastoral life, the coordinator of the Office for Evangelization in the Archdiocese of Newark. Father, good morning.
Good morning, John. How are you all on Relevant Radio today?
We're blessed to have you on. Why is it okay to fail at Lent?
Well, I think it's more than okay to fail at Lent, John. I think it's actually designed that we fail at Lent. But this is what I mean. In the first place, we do our various preparations for Lent, the things we're going to take on, you know, the various devotions we're going to take on, or various penances we're going to take on, or a combination of the two. And all those are great and wonderful. And for the most part, many of us can do most of those things, give or take. But if we listen to the daily Mass readings in which the Church is teaching us, there is this relentless call to conversion, to holiness, to perfection. Quite frankly, it's exhausting. It's like running a spiritual marathon and consistently hitting that wall, as runners speak about. How can I turn the other cheek yet again? How can I go the extra mile yet again? How can I forgive this person who has hurt me yet again? How can I devote more time to the Lord yet again? And it's ongoing and ongoing and ongoing. And if all I'm doing is just the things that I had planned to do before Lent began, I don't think I'm allowing myself to be formed by the pedagogy that the Church offers through the daily liturgy. And then about halfway through that, the liturgy will change. And the daily Mass readings, the gospel will always come from John. And now is presenting the person of Jesus as healer, as savior, as one who walks on water and multiplies the food and raises the dead and casts out demons. And now you realize that the solution to this failure, this sense of exhaustion, is Jesus himself, not what we can do, not our devotions or our penances. Because if I could get through Lent with my devotions and penances alone, who needs a savior? I'm pretty good at this myself. I think I'm supposed to fail at Lent. That is to recognize the claim that's being made on me is impossible. It's exhausting at best, and it can't be done. And I'm tempted, you might be thinking, to just give up. And that's what many people do. But the truth of the matter is God shows up and says, no, I'm always with you. And I think we had a hint of it even this past Sunday, yesterday, because we had readings that were very Lenten in a certain theme, you know, be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy, the temple that you are is holy, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. I look at those and think, wow, that's a whole lot more than just giving up chocolate or saying the rosary. There's a whole lot more that I'm being invited to and challenged to in this season of Lent, which is our annual retreat for preparing to renew my baptism vows. How big baptism really is. Anyway, that's, I think, my first thought about why Lent is more than just okay to fail at. I think we're supposed to.
And one of these Lents, we have to bring somebody in to stand up and defend chocolate. Poor chocolate always gets picked on every single Lent, time after time after time.
Absolutely right. Yes, we need a chocolate defender.
There you go. Father John Gordon with us this morning on Morning Air. We're talking about why it may be okay to fail at Lent. And don't we also, Father Gordon, have to ask the Holy Spirit for a big assist here, that we not look at Lent as a 40-day project, but about transforming our lives?
Yes, because we were made for this. we were baptized either as infants or whenever we were baptized. And every year the church invites us to renew that baptism in a solemn way at Easter, whether the Easter Vigil or any of the Masses on Easter Sunday. And so Lent, which initially began as a retreat for those preparing to be baptized, kind of expanded to be a retreat, so to speak, for the whole church for the renewal of baptism. Well, renewal of baptism is a whole lot more than we might think. It's not just a simple thing of getting sprinkled with holy water and saying, yes, I believe, I believe, I believe, but rather it's allowing God to take possession of us in a deeper way, that the renewal of baptism might be a deepening of baptism. Because the truth of the matter is, I need to grow in my baptismal grace. I'm not living it fully and completely. I still sin. I still give in to temptation. I still don't trust at times. Like the gospel for today, what is needed, all you have to do is believe. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Baptism still needs to grow in me. And it gets a good jump start with this Lenten Easter renewal. I'm frankly looking very, very forward to Lent as an opportunity to be reminded how great God's gift is to me in baptism.
With Father John Gordon this morning from the Archdiocese of Newark, we're looking at why it may be okay to fail at Lent. Have you gotten through previous Lenten seasons looking back and saying, gee, that really didn't accomplish what I wanted to accomplish over the last 7 weeks? 888-914-9149. I think we've all been there, right in that boat. We failed at Lent.
Absolutely.
Where we've wanted to do so much, but we've only accomplished so little. What did you do? How do you feel this morning? 888-914-9149 on the Catholic Order of Forrester studio line. Perhaps, Father Gordon, it's not, and we all have a tendency to do this, either look in the rearview mirror or anticipate things that probably won't even happen. How do we live in the present moment, that God's will is manifest at this present moment? That's a tough thing to do.
That is a very tough thing to do, and I think it fundamentally boils down to an attitude of trust. Do I believe that God is aware of what's going on in my life? I think sometimes we might be thinking, okay, I'm not going to tell God what to do. I'm not God. God is God. But I'm not sure God really knows what's going on in my life. And so I do it that way. And that being open to the present moment is an awareness that, God, you know exactly what's going on, and you're present to this situation. The discernment I need to apply is, how do I respond to this? Do I receive it? Do I resist it? If it's a temptation, do I yield to the grace? How is it that I'm called to deal, especially if it's a setback of some kind? Is this a setback I'm supposed to accept, or is it a setback I'm supposed to fight against? And so we need that constant discernment, and we're going to get it wrong sometimes. And that's why the Lord, we're given through the great gift of the church, the opportunity for repentance and for renewal and to kind of pick up again. But the sense of, Lord, I trust that where I am, you know. I don't have to tell you where I am, whether in any image, sense of what that means. And the Lord, therefore, is present to that, to me, in that situation. And that, for me, is a conversion of trust that I need to go on more and more.
And Father Gordon, as we prepare for Lent and also look back at Matthew's Gospel from the seventh Sunday in ordinary time, where we hear about being perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect, do we kind of trip ourselves up in the call to holiness, and that call to holiness, that goodness and who we are as Roman Catholic men or women, do we look at holiness as perfection and maybe trip ourselves up in the definition of that word holiness?
Yes, and the definition of the word perfection, because the perfection that is used in the gospel isn't meaning without any errors, but it's about that which we are designed for, what we are, what we tend towards. So, for example, a watch is perfected to tell time, and so it does that, and that effort is perfect. It doesn't mean it doesn't do anything without error. And if we confuse holiness as based on my good behavior or my righteous actions, then indeed I've missed the boat. And that's why the second reading from Corinthians yesterday was so helpful, because the holiness is based on being God's temple, which means that God dwells in me. So the holiness that I'm called to isn't about my doing the right things, but it's about letting God in my heart more fully, letting God take possession of me. And that will reflect itself in a new way of living, as the gospel invites us to. But it's not about me kind of, oh, I deserve this, or I earn this, or I'm making this happen. But it's allowing God to live and work through me. And so there's a certain level of openness and receiving, and not just taking and running. And that, again, especially for men, but I think for all of us, requires a certain level of conversion and abandonment to say, God, you know, and so I trust you here. And even if I get it wrong, you will still be with me, and you'll help me get it right over and over again. But even if I get it wrong over and over again, you are with me. Again, back to baptism, because that's what baptism does. We become the temple of the living God. And so that's what my holiness is. And that way there, that's what perfects me. That is to say, it orients me towards my goal, which is union with him.
If your radio is just going on, it's Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's 16 after the hour, and we are spending time with Father John Gordon, the coordinator of the Office for Evangelization in the Archdiocese of Newark, and we're talking about, is it okay to fail at Lent? And as Father Gordon puts it in perspective, you see exactly the way a lot of our Lenten journeys have gone in the past. Have you tried to bite off a little bit more than you could chew in past Lents? And what are you looking at for this Lent as something that's doable for you? 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. And perhaps one of the Lenten resolutions is to just simply get along better with others. So unpack a little bit more. You mentioned the second reading yesterday. That lesson from St. Paul in that second reading really gives us two essential blocks in our moral foundations, the dignity of every person and the sanctity of human life. In this throwaway culture that we have here in the United States and the culture of death, sadly, that we have here in the United States, and also even right down to the demeanor we have on social media, where it's so easy to disparage people in the anonymity of our Facebook page or on Twitter or another social media account, how do we really embrace that lesson from Paul in the second reading yesterday?
Well, that's a real challenge. I think one of the reasons that allows us to embrace it when we do is a realization when we have been mistreated, when we have been, when our dignity has been offended in some way, shape, or form, and we realize that the other person was just acting as everybody does. And when I realize that I've been offended, that my dignity has been hurt, and I'm devastated by that to a certain extent, then maybe I can begin to realize, oh, that's what I do sometimes. And so how do I recognize that I am receiving only what I've sown? I'm reaping what I've sown. And so hopefully that brings about an awareness of that's not the way I want to live anymore. And I want to be mindful and conscious of the fact that God has done something for me. And so therefore, that's why, for example, as we begin each hour on Morning Air, we pray the morning offering. And that has to be more than just mere words, but a real desire to commit myself over to the Lord and the new way of life that he's calling me to. This is why Lent is such a precious gift to us, because most of us are very aware of Lent, especially if we've added some devotions that take up our time at the beginning of the day, or added some penances that can remind us throughout the day of what is important. And it can remind me, therefore, that I need to live differently than I've been living. Live, no longer take my cues from the world's way of relating, but God has a way for me to relate to other people that is very different from what the world offers. And it might seem as if it's weak. It might seem as if it is of no import. But this is the way of the cross, which is therefore the way of glory, and it's the way of salvation. Dear listeners, I want to encourage each one of us to not be afraid to turn the other cheek, to not be afraid to go the extra mile, to not be afraid to recognize the value of each person, even those we disagree with strongly, even those who offend and attack the church and the Lord, because God is bigger than this, and God has a heart for them that says, even though you beat me and attack me, what did he say from the cross? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He died for each and every single one of those persons. The least I can do is offer up any indignity and not fight against them, but let my prayer for them beg the Lord to penetrate their heart.
Father, the three pillars of Lent, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, prayer to be refreshed, to become more profound, to deepen that relationship, that romance with Jesus. And I mention that because Ed had to run into work, but he called before work, and he's in Stockton, California, because we were teasing the fact that you were going to be on and talking about this. And he wants to know how you take prayer from praying from the heart in a spontaneous basis, that you, those beautiful intimate conversations you have from God, is to how to make that the mindset versus, oh, it's time to pray, kind of checking off something, checking off a box on my list of things to do.
Well, I think that both of those kinds of things can be helpful, because as much as I love and desire that intimate conversational manner of being with the Lord in prayer, I can forget about it because he's not physically in front of me the way other people are. And so I need to remind myself to make time for that space of intimate conversation with him. And so coming to my prayer time, as it were, the time I set aside to say this is uniquely for God, and where however I might be feeling at the moment, if I begin that personally, the way I often do is if I begin that with some devotional type of prayer. So for example, for me, when I take my prayer time, which is typically in the morning, I begin by praying the office of readings. And what that does, it just kind of like opens up my mind and heart, loosens the soil, as it were. It gets me focused on the Lord. And then I'm much more able to move into conversational prayer, praying with the scriptures, just meditating. Or even when I do something like praying with the scriptures or meditating on the rosary, it's much more conversational and intimate because I plow that ground. So I think there's a way in which those two styles of prayer, the kind of rote or devotional or scheduled prayer, as well as that spontaneous, intimate conversational prayer, they feed one another. And I don't think it's an either or, but a both and, if possible.
You were also mentioning the Gospels, because the Gospels for Lent in Cycle A are about conversion, putting Jesus as the center of our lives. So as we look at the Gospels for Lent, and then also reflect on the readings from the seventh Sunday in Ordinary Time, the readings that we heard last weekend that are really the challenges of everyday life in Sunday's readings, that would be a pretty good foundation, or at least something that we could refer to during the 7 weeks of Lent.
Absolutely. The church is brilliant in its pedagogy of Lent. For example, Ash Wednesday, the gospel is always about prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. The first Sunday of Lent, the gospel is always about the temptation of Jesus in the desert. The second Sunday of Lent, the gospel is always the transfiguration. The preface for that says the Lord offered them the gift of seeing him transfigured so that they would be strengthened through his passion. And then in the cycle A that we're on, we do those third, fourth, and fifth Sundays of Lent, which are so important, especially for those involved in the catechumenal process, the woman at the well, the man born blind, and the raising of Lazarus. And we find in those gospel accounts this ongoing call to conversion and deepening and opening and whatever woundedness we come with and the remedy that God has. We couple that with the daily Mass readings, which are, again, that relentless call to conversion and perfection, and then the second half, the person of Jesus. It's the church is saying to us, come, do not be afraid. And don't just come to say, okay, everything's just fine. Come to be transformed. Come to be made new. Come to find yourself in a deeper, higher place with me, says the Lord. And do not be afraid of this.
Last week we had Joe Boland on, and with Catholic Extension, they're working with the people in Puerto Rico, number one, still rebuilding from the hurricane almost 2 years ago, and more recently with the devastating earthquakes. And in some particular areas, especially in the southern part of Puerto Rico, churches are completely destroyed. Yet, Joe was talking about the resilience of faith. With all of these crosses the people of Puerto Rico are carrying and have been carrying, the resilience of faith, how do we look inside of us and see the resilience of our own faith during our Lenten journeys?
You know, wherever people experience hardship, difficulty, and challenge, especially if it's something like the hurricanes or the earthquakes or any kind of persecution, ironically, that's when people's faith gets stronger. The church is strongest when she's kind of leanest, as it were, having to kind of get to her fighting weight. And we're at our worst, as it were, when we're kind of fat and lazy, as so often we are, in the sense of that we don't experience difficulty or challenge or persecution. As we take our faith more seriously, that starts to come. And so I think the more serious we take our faith, when those difficulties come, we find ourselves even more clinging to the Lord. You know, we cling to God, it seems to me, more forcefully when we're going through a difficult time than when we're in some sense of elation. When I'm elated, I tend to kind of get lifted up and I kind of uncouple myself from the Lord. I'm relying on the euphoria of whatever it is. But then when I come down, as it were, am I clinging to the Lord, or have I missed that connection? And so I thank God for the cross, for the suffering, for those kinds of things, not because I like them, but because they help remind me of clinging to Christ that is most important more than anything else.
And that's a good segue, Father Gordon, as we prepare for Lent here on Morning Air about fasting. Fasting is sacrifice. That's where I get tripped up most every single Lent, because we do like our comforts, but even such things as, oh, I'm going to give up social media for a day. It's like, well, it's not going to be that much of a harm if I check Facebook first thing in the morning before I go to Mass. That's where I kind of get tripped up at Lent. That's where I fail at Lent on fasting. So how can you help me with that?
Well, I think that's where one of the, you mentioned before that you're going to have Father Burke Masters is coming on to talk about Exodus 90, and I'm very familiar with it. But the great thing about that kind of thing and other things like that is that you're connected to other people. And so there's a way in which I'm trying to live in the light. So I meet with a group of men, and we kind of hold ourselves to the accountability. What am I doing for Lent? And check in with each other regularly to say, how am I doing that? And so, you know, yeah, I did fail. I did kind of check my email yesterday when I said I wasn't going to go to social media, but I whatever it might be, or I did check the Facebook. And so we find ourselves saying, okay, fine, brother, repent and move on. And we're strengthened by that. We're not condemned by that. We need one another. This is not a solo operation. The other thing that's fascinating about that line from yesterday's second reading, the temple that you are, therefore you are holy, is the you is the plural. It's referring to the community. It's not just the individual in terms of baptism makes me the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's true. But we, the community, are. And so we need one another. And what helps me in the area of fasting and especially any kind of denial of the flesh is mm-hmm. to kind of share with others what I'm trying to do and ask them to call me onto it and ask me how I'm doing with no judgment, no sense, oh, you're such a failure, you're such a loser. I know I am. Am I the only one who gains weight during Lent? So it's like, how is it that I, if I bring this to my brothers in particular and they love me through it and they help me realize it, I can be reminded, you know what, Lord, maybe I don't have enough willpower to do this because of what I said, but I have enough willpower not to be embarrassed once again with my brother, so I will not. I will do the right thing. Whatever it takes, but I find living in the light with other people to be a massive cure for that.
But also, as we look at the very author of life, Jesus Christ, who has made us yes. a temple of God, isn't that also, conversely, yes. a very motivating factor that you have this tremendous yes. gift that you are a temple of God? And doesn't that want to make you work harder in that romance with Jesus?
Absolutely. And that's conversion, because when I recognize that and I realize, wow, I do belong to him. He has paid this great price and he's given me his Holy Spirit, not just as a past tense, but an ongoing grace. Well, Lord, I want to live in that grace. And you're absolutely right, John, that romance is rekindled and renewed. And this is where every Sunday, every Lent, every opportunity the Lord gives us reminds us, yes, I am not myself. There is someone in me who is bigger than me. God himself chose to make my heart, my life, his home. And I want to make that worthy of him.
And we have a 40-day journey to deepen that romance with Jesus as we prepare for our Lenten journeys. Father John Gordon is a member of our morning family and the acting vicar for pastoral life, the coordinator of the Office for Evangelization in the Archdiocese of Newark. Father Gordon, as always, thank you so much for your spiritual direction. You'll be in our prayers.
God bless you. Hope to see you soon, John. Peace to you.
Father, thank you. And as we begin our Lenten journey, we begin with Father Rocky's Lenten Lessons in the Mass. You'll hear them every hour right here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.